There is one really big advantage for us as a smaller church using Zoom to meet with one another live. And that is that there comes a point where we can get involved ourselves. We can interact. We can hear one another pray and so on. Something that doesn't happen with the most beautiful and slick presentations of services that take place on YouTube and other sorts of formats that many churches have used. It's a real advantage, and I just want to use that briefly this morning because I want to invite you to participate just for a minute. We're thinking about remembrance. We're thinking about the significance of remembrance today. And what I would like to invite you to do is, if you'd like to share something, to unmute yourselves, and then in just one or two words, share, suggest something that we tend to remember. What do we remember? So, just quick fire, someone start us off. Give me an example of something that we remember.
Birthdays.
Thank you. Brilliant. Birthdays. Speaking of which, happy birthday, Angie, today. Absolutely, birthdays. Someone else.
Holidays.
Holidays. We look forward to holidays, don't we? They give us a gauge, a sense of what might be coming. Someone else.
MOTs.
MOT. Forget your MOT, you're in big trouble with the authorities that be. Yeah, thank you. Something else.
Weddings
Weddings. Absolutely. And anniversaries of weddings. Yeah.
I first met the Lord.
The something of real significance, the day we meet the Lord. In my case, it was in April of 1970. But yeah, something of significance.
St. George's Day.
St. George's Day, so a day to remember, much like, of course, today. Thanks, Bruce. Anything
The birth
else?
of a baby, the birth of one of our babies.
So we celebrate those things of someone of significance, don't we? Absolutely. Anything else?
Families. Families.
Yeah, we remember families. We remember people, don't we, who are so key and important to us. Got to be honest, I thought someone would have mentioned the thing that our church is preoccupied with, which is medicine. So, you could have said lots of other things: doctor's appointments, taking your tablets, cooking. We have to remember to turn off the eggs when they've boiled, or if you're maybe a bit more adventurous, to end the meal at a certain time when it's well and truly cooked. There are lots of things like that. I'm just going to mute you all again, just so we don't have any complications later. So, lots of things that we remember routinely. I thought Richard was bound to tell me keys, especially car keys. But there are those kinds of things, and we remember them. And they come into a number of different categories. First of all, there are the practical things. The things that help us to function. Somebody said an MOT, I think that was Richard, and an MOT or anything like that, or a doctor's appointment, something that you need to go through on a routine basis to keep life ticking over. We remember our shopping lists, we remember to go shopping, you remember your tablets. All those things help life to be orderly, not chaotic. And sadly, for people who are not very good and not very disciplined at remembering, life often is chaotic. So those are the practical things. Then you mentioned another whole group, which are the relationships. People are important to us. So remember birthdays and weddings, and we celebrate when the children have come. We celebrate people of concern to us. And those things create strong bonds within families, within churches, within communities. People are important. So we might add to that part of what is involved today. We remember individuals who've done something of significance. They become important to us. And then there are the events that we remember. The community events, the memorial events. And actually at this time of year, there are quite a number that we have to do. We remember, first of all, to put your clocks back. Then as we get into the beginning of November, we come to the 5th of November. That's something we remember as a culture, as a nation. Remember, remember the 5th of November. Gunpowder, treason and plot. What's the second line? I see no reason why gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. And it was put into a form of a poem so that the nation would remember. It was all about Guy Fawkes coming and trying to blow up Parliament. He wanted to assassinate the Protestant king and blow up the seat of democracy in our nation. And it was believed that was so significant that we have this remembrance on the 5th of November. We all light bonfires in the country. And then a little later in November, we come to Armistice Day, Remembrance Day, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, when the guns finally went silent in the Great War. And it was such an important moment that, of course, we stopped. And ever since, we've reminded ourselves. And then we have today, Remembrance Sunday, when we bring God into that so much more. And we recognize before him the things that have been so costly to people. And it causes us in this communal act to be appreciative, to be thankful, to empathize. That's part of what we're doing today, isn't it? We have an empathy for those who are bereaved, who are suffering a sadness. We try to learn the lessons from those events that are so significant. There's also Holocaust Day, the 7/7 in this country, more familiar, 9/11 in the United States. A day that changed the world because of an act of terrorism, and we remember it because it is important. Historians use that well-known phrase coined, I think, first by Winston Churchill. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And so for the sake of community, for the sake of valuing others, we remember these things. We remember as a church those who are suffering, those who are not well, we pray for them. Those who are not able to join with us, when we have our link issued each month, as it is at the moment, we have six names down each month. And the idea is to remember so that we are aware, we're keeping focus on the wider community. We remember people to value them, to bring them into our community, to build relationship with them, to grow our appreciation and our gratitude of them. And then it does something which is really important. It opens up our awareness to look beyond our own self-centered little world that can so easily dominate who we are. We are part of something much bigger. And so for us, we remember birthdays. They're important to us because then we can remember everybody who's in the fellowship. We remember those on the fringe who we don't see very often. It's important to keep those links. Those who are not gathered, we'll pray for them because we want to give value to one another. It's important. Remembering is a good thing. But I wonder whether you realize remembering is actually a really godly thing. It's an active thing that God invites us, asks us to do. He wants us to do it. He wants us to remember him in particular. And so he gives us in the Bible instructions again and again to do just that. Right from the beginning, do you remember Noah? the great flood. What happened at the end of the flood? God gave a rainbow. What was its purpose? It was so that we would remember his promise, his covenant promise, that never again would the waters become a flood to destroy all life. That was Genesis 9:15. And go on in Genesis, and we find the same thing happening again. Do you know about the memorial stones? There are lots of instances in our Bibles where there are memorial stones. Think about Jacob. Jacob and his famous dream, Jacob's ladder, the ladder that went up to heaven. And he recognized that even though he was wandering through the desert, and even though he was asleep, the God of this world was with him. He realized he was right there. And so that place was called Bethel, the house of God. And he put a stone there to remember it, so that it would always be a place of significance, where God had done a thing of significance, and where future generations would remember it also. And there are memorial stones throughout the Old Testament. When the people of Israel finally got to the promised land, that's pretty much the bit we've got to, as we've been looking at Israel coming out of their captivity in Egypt. They've got to the promised land. Now Moses steps back. He's going to die, and Joshua is going to take the people into the promised land. And as God opens up the waters of the River Jordan and they cross, he calls them to take 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel, of Egypt, of the people of Israel, and plants them in that place. Why? So that when future generations, when their children and children's children ask, why are these stones here? The stones would speak of what God has done, of their miraculous entry into the promised land. And again, Moses would do the same thing. He would speak to the people and invite them to remember. God, talking to his people, would remind them who he was. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who led the people through the Red Sea to the promised land. This is who God is. He reminds us, and he wants us to remember. He even gives us one of the 10 commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Isn't that interesting? That's the one we are to remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's so easy. It's perhaps the commandment that we find hardest, to say this is a day that is going to be different. God knows there needs to be a day when we reconnect with him. Otherwise, 1 week becomes two, becomes three, becomes, and then it's 10 years. Before you go back to church, before you have any connection and your relationship is lost, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the New Testament, there are just 2 ordinances given to God's people. Did you realize that? In the Old Testament, to the people of Israel, so many commands, so many expectations. In the New Testament, just 2 ordinances. The first is baptism. The second is the Lord's Supper. We remember who we are. We remember what he has done. It comes down to what we're going to do in a few minutes' time. And with the bread and with the wine, take this bread. Do this in remembrance of me. Drink this wine as often as you drink it. Remember me. Those are the words. God is inviting us to come back to him. Do you know, remembering is not just some passive thing. It's not just something that happens in the background, like eating your food and it's digested passively. You're not involved actively. That's not the case with remembering. Remembering is an action. And it is an action that brings the power of Jesus back into our lives. You might say, well, that's a bit strong, isn't it? No, it isn't. Because what happens when we actively remember what he has done is it enables us to stop focusing on the me, on the my circumstances, the impossibility of the problem solving in this finite, mortal human body that we have, where we can't get ourselves all the answers. And instead, it focuses our minds on God, who is the God of the impossible. It brings the power of Jesus back into our lives. And remembering is something that we can therefore learn to do. Because in the process, it helps us to develop a spiritual sensitivity, an awareness of God in the circumstances that we're going through. It grows our faith, it builds good perspective, and it encourages us to trust God's supernatural power in the presence of our very finite, feeble, and fragile world. And it's so important that in the Bible we also have an example of that that's really clear in the Psalms, which is why I'm just going to touch for a couple of minutes on Psalm 77. It's a psalm of Asaph. It's a remarkable psalm. Asaph is having a really tough time. He's struggling really badly. He's deeply depressed, and so he cries out to God. And in the psalm, you just get this sense that he's got his doubts, and his doubts are pulling him down, stopping him from getting on with life. And he's focusing on his experiences and his problems. That's the center of what he's dealing with at this point. And if you were listening carefully to what Jackie read, or if you looked at it yourself, you'd notice there was something quite different about the beginning of the psalm compared to the end. In the first 12 verses, one word kept coming back again and again, and that word was I cried out to God. I cried out to God to help me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out. I would not be comforted. I groaned. I meditated. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former years. I remembered my songs in the night. And so he goes on. 12 verses. I. He's full of his own situation. But at least he brings that to God. And as he's bringing it and starts to cry out to God, even with his me-centered focus, something happens. And as he's spending that time with God, something is transformed. And we see as he's crying out to God, eventually it twigs. And he repeats this phrase about remembering. It begins in verse 3, I remembered you. Verse 5, I remembered you. And then when it really matters, verse 11, I'll read it to you. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. He turns from himself to God. And from verse 13 on, there's no mention of the word I. Now it's all about you. It's all about God. And he turns from self-focus, self-pity to praise and worship. God just got bigger in his life and made the difference. The I's gone, the you is back, and he's worshiping. He's meditating on God's miracles, on God's mighty acts. And it leads to this outpouring of praise and worship as he recalls the glory of God. And it would go on into Psalm 78, the same thing. And no longer is he writing from a place of despair and distance from God, but to a place of hope, a place of remembrance. Because by recalling what God has done for us, and for others. His faith is restored. And that's the opportunity, the invitation that is open to us. That's where remembrance comes in. We come back to God. And you know, you might have been really depressed after listening to the last 2 weeks of climate change talks. And you know, I truly believe it is a desperate situation. And our children and our children's children are going to remind us, if we're still around, of this in a few years' time. Did we act? And there's so much heart to act, so much lack of political will to, because people want to get re-elected. And it's tough when you have to pay a price to do the right thing. And you might have been feeling a little down and a bit negative, but remembering who God is, remembering what he's done, brings us out of that. He remembers, he brings us to a place of recalling what God has done for us and for others. And our faith is restored and our joy returns and our hearts turn from despair to praise, which is why God brings us to this place of remembering. And at the very heart of that for the church and for all of God's people is this requirement to remember the Lord's Supper, which is what we're going to do now. To remember that our faith is built on what Jesus did, not on what we've done, not on how many times we've been to church or how many books we've read. It's built on what Jesus has done. It's not built on our good works. It's not built on the great things we've achieved. It is built on what Jesus has done on the cross of Christ when he shed his blood. And in response, our sins were forgiven. Our hope was given for the future. We have an eternity with him. We are called to remember because if the cross is not the very center of what we do in our lives, if Jesus isn't the center, well, no wonder we don't have hope. And our life becomes meaningless because we're striving to do things instead of recognizing Jesus has done it for us. So we're going to come to communion at this point.